In today's gospel, Christ teaches us how to pray. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up and give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In today's Gospel, we hear Jesus offer us some very consoling words. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He says that the Father wants to give us, his children, good gifts, so we should pray about them with confidence and with persistence. So why is it then, if those words are true, and of course Jesus only speaks the truth, why is it that sometimes God doesn't seem to answer our prayers? Now, I say that with this caveat. I bet if you and I had kept a journal of all the things we prayed for over our life from the earliest days, we'd be surprised at how many times God has said yes to us. But, you know, being human, we tend to focus on the glass half empty, don't we, sometimes. But it is true, you know, apparently there are times when God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. Why is that? Now, again, another caveat. Remember, when he teaches us the Our Father this morning, he teaches us the order in which we should pray, the things that are most important. What does he teach us to pray for first? Father, hallowed be your name. Our first prayer should always be a prayer of praising God, of thanking God. Then he says, your kingdom come. Our second prayer should always be, God, what do you want me to do for the sake of your kingdom? Only then does he get to give us this day our daily bread. Our prayers of petition. But it's in those prayers of petition where we sometimes have the problem, isn't it? God doesn't seem to answer our prayers the way we want. Why is that? Let me offer you 4 little thoughts this morning. First of all, I don't think God usually answers our prayers to make up for the things he already gave us the ability to do ourselves. I'm thinking of the story of the 7th grade student who had a big geography test that day. didn't study for it, went in, took the test. That night you see the student kneeling at his bedside praying, "Oh God, please, please, make Paris the capital of Germany. Make Paris the capital of Germany." Well, if he'd studied, he would have known that Paris was the capital of France. God doesn't make up for the things he already gave us the ability to do, normally anyway. Another example, you're driving down the mountain road at Mount Washington, the auto road at Mount Washington. All of a sudden, your brakes get squishy. You start going faster, your brakes get squishy. "Oh God," we pray, "Oh God, please, please make these brakes work." Well, chances are God's not going to make the brakes work when he already gave you lots of time to bring the car to the garage. You know you should have gone to the garage. You know you should have got it serviced. You didn't. Now you're saying, "Oh God, please make the brakes work." Normally, he doesn't answer prayers that make up for what we should have done ourselves. We had the ability to do ourselves. Secondly, what do you think God does with our prayers that might be an advantage to us, but at the very same time be a disadvantage to somebody else? It's the big game. Big baseball game. The game's on the line. Up comes the batter. Praying, "Oh God, let me get a hit. Please, God, let me get a hit." There's the pitcher praying, "Oh God, please let me strike him out. Please let me strike him out." How's God deal with that? We're having a big family gathering this weekend. "God, please give us a good day on Sunday. We got 80 people coming to this. We can get them all in the backyard. We can't get them all in the house. Please, let there be a beautiful sunny day. Oh, please, God." Meanwhile, at the same time, a farmer's praying, "Oh, God, please let it rain. I need rain for my crops." You see, is God going to answer prayers for us that disadvantage somebody else? The third one is a little harder for us. Normally, God is not going to take away people's free will. Look at all the evil in the world, the wars, the violence, the starvation, the poverty. That usually comes from misuse of the free will God has given us. Suppose somebody's hurting you emotionally, physically even. You pray, "God, please make that person stop." Now, God will work in that person's heart and mind, try to make them see things a different way, but God's never going to take away their free will, make them stop, so to speak, when they would intend to keep going. God has given us free will because we need free will in order to love. Love that's forced is never real love. So our love for God, our love for one another has to be free. If God takes away our ability for that, who are we? We're just robots. So God's normally not going to take away our free will or someone else's free will. That's hard for us. Hard to recognize that, but I think that's true, you know. God will work to try to change people's minds, but he's never going to take away their free will, ours or anybody else's. And even if you were inclined to do it, imagine this. Somebody's hurting you. You pray, "God, make that person stop." So God forces that person to stop. Wouldn't he have to do that every time somebody's going to hurt somebody? Every other person is just as important to him as you are. If he stops somebody from hurting you, takes away their free will, wouldn't he have to do that every time somebody's going to hurt somebody? What happens to free will then? Finally, you know, when we pray for something, for someone, with all good intention, we see a very small picture. We think we're praying for the right things. Maybe sometimes we're not. Maybe God says no to us because he sees a much bigger picture where something is not going to be good for us, even though we think it is. I'll offer you just one example of that from my own life. I might have used this story before. If so, it's just so powerful for me that I offer it again to you. When I was first in the seminary, finished my last 2 years of college, my first 2 years in the seminary, I'd finished my study of philosophy, and I was studying. Bishop had sent me to St. Paul's Seminary up in Ottawa, Canada, part of the University of Ottawa. I loved it there. It was great, enjoyed the seminary, made good friends. So I was looking forward to going back there for the next 4 years for theology. That summer, I was working at the New Hampshire Ball Bearing over in Peterborough. I'd worked there for a number of summers. It was about the 7th or 8th of August. I come home from work one day. My mother is literally standing at the door with a letter. I walk in the door. She's putting the letter in my hands. Letter from the bishop. Dear Frank, please come to Manchester next Tuesday to discuss with me the possibility of studying theology at Louvain, Belgium. My God, last thing I wanted was to go to Belgium. When you went to Belgium in those days to study, you were there for 4 years. You didn't come home, only in a case of emergency. Last thing I wanted to do was to go to Belgium. So I prayed as hard as I've ever prayed that week. Lord, please, let me change the bishop's mind. Let him see how happy I am, and let him make me go back to Ottawa. So that next Tuesday, I trundle off to Manchester, and Bishop brings me into his office. We chat for a while, small talk. He says, well, Frank, he says, what do you think? How about going to Louvain? I said, I had worked the whole plan out in my mind, how I was going to convince him, right? I had a whole, so the first thing I was going to do was to say, well, Bishop, I'll be obedient to you, whatever you want. Of course, I'd better him up that way, So I said, Bishop, if you want me to go to Louvain, I'll go. But I'm so happy in Ottawa. I love it up there, so forth. But go on my whole spiel, that I'd practiced and rehearsed. He says, well, you really like it up in Ottawa, huh? I said, yeah, I really do. You'd like to go back there, huh? I really would like to go back, Bishop. I'll do what you want, but I was so happy up there. And he's thinking, I guess, I say to myself, he's weakening. I can see him weakening, So he says, well, I think I want you to go to Louvain. Oh, God. My heart dropped into my stomach. Was physically sick driving back to Jaffrey. A month and a half later, I'm on the boat. In those days, we went over to Europe by boat because we take our trunks with us and everything. I remember vividly today standing on the deck of that ship, watching it leave New York Harbor, realizing I was gone for 4 years. So I left with a very, very heavy heart, only to spend 4 of the happiest years of my life in Belgium, the American College in Belgium. Wonderful experience, wonderful classmates, wonderful professors, chance to travel in Europe. Just 4 of the most happy years of my life. If God had answered my prayer to go back to Ottawa, I would have missed all that. See, God saw a bigger picture, saw this would be good for me, saw I would benefit from it. So he said no. Sometimes, there's an old song, remember the song? Some of God's greatest blessings are unanswered prayers. Some of God's greatest blessings are unanswered prayers, because what we think is good for us really isn't. So as we gather today, let's remember what Jesus says. Pray with confidence. Pray with persistence. But also pray knowing that God is our Abba, our Father. And that word Abba, really means more daddy, papa, that kind of intimacy. So when we pray to him, we pray knowing he's going to answer us in the ways that are best for us, even though we don't understand it at the time. Maybe we should pray at the beginning of our prayer what an elderly man did every time he got down to pray on his knees. He began by praying, Dear Father, I am so glad that I belong to you. Dear Father, I am so glad that I belong to you. May God bless you.